prepare yourself. You're about to listen to Super Gamescast 64 with your host, Trey Mitchell, and your other hosts, Austin Guttery and Connor Reisenhoover.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, failure!
What is up, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Super Gamescast 64.
Ever?
Yes, of ever. It's 2024. It's a new year. New me, new podcast. We're pivoting our podcast, Austin.
Yeah, we're going only ag talk from now on. This is a 4-H podcast. We're talking corn.
Corn?
Sorghum.
Mills.
Maize.
Soybeans.
Yeah, soybeans.
Oh, there's... said boy beans.
soy boy beans, you know?
Yeah, we're talking tractors.
We're talking trucks. Nuts. We're going to harvest some nuts. We're going to have nut talk.
That's right. We're going over best plants of the year.
Let's do it.
New plants that are dropping in 2024.
We're going to do some hybrid plants. We're going to have like...
like an indica. And
like corn garbanzo beans.
I like where your head's at.
Hey, Connor, what's that joke about garbanzo beans?
I don't know, Trey. What is that joke about garbanzo beans?
I believe it goes, what's the difference between a chickpea and a garbanzo bean?
Garbanzo.
Connor.
I don't know, Trey. What is the difference?
Never had a garbanzo bean on my face. Oh, it's Super Gamescast 64. Year is 2024. We got Trey Mitchell here. We got Austin Guttery.
Trey,
how are you doing?
We're back. We're not canceled. Eighth year?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
Wait.
We did half of 2016.
Uh-huh.
2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So this is our ninth year to be on the air.
Fuck.
Eighth and a half, because we started in July. So we'll hit 8 years in July. And we have not been canceled yet. By the network. I don't mean in like a woke sense.
Yeah.
Trey's been talking about that all
TC. TC hasn't pulled the plug.
Not yet. I doubt he remembers that we even post on Blowout.
Oh, all. Yeah?
Yeah.
Does he even run that anymore?
Yeah.
He's our boss. He's our big boss.
The big boss. Connor Reisenhoover, how are you doing? It's the new year. Jesus hasn't sent his only son to cause the apocalypse yet, which I'm always awaiting.
I'm good, man. Just hanging out.
I don't think Jesus causes the apocalypse. I think he just, when it happens, he appears there, right?
He's there.
Should we ask Jebediah?
Boy, end times eschatology is very confusing.
Dude, I had a period of time where I was freaked the fuck out by all that shit.
Really? You thought it was
because
like,
you read Left Behind one time?
I got in big trouble in fifth grade, and my mom bought me the Left Behind books, and I thought I was going to be left behind.
So you became a
good
boy?
That's only one of the four. That's one of the four main schools of thought in terms of the end of the world. It's only one of them.
There's more schools of thought, so it's not just the rapture?
Yeah, rapture's only one of the schools of thought.
What's the other schools of thought?
it's really confusing to explain. So
I need to learn. I need to know.
That'll be
some other day.
That'll be on Super Gamescast Plus.
Yeah, Super Religious Cast 64.
Super Godcast.
Super Godcast.
Holy Godcast 777. That's the number for heaven.
Actually, this is a video game podcast, so why don't we start talking some video games?
Oh yeah, baby, we are coming back from break. You guys been playing some games?
I've been playing game, not games.
What game are you playing?
Take a guess.
Civilization.
Alan Wake 2.
So I'm a few hours into Alan Wake 2.
That's great.
And there's this part where you can get on the computer and start playing Sid Meier's Civilization 6.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I've just been playing a lot of that inside of Alan Wake.
Yes.
I need help. I can't stop playing Sid Meier's Civilization 6.
He keeps coming
6.
Over and playing, Connor.
I do keep coming over and making sure Trey is working, and then I play Civilization in the background.
I think you just have to replace it with another game. It's like, to get off heroin, you got to start doing... Narcan? What's the thing that gets you off heroin?
Pretty sure it's methamphetamine, right?
Yeah, no, the methadone.
Methadone. No, I mean, it's a new era of Civ for me where I've actually been deep diving into the stats and the numbers and everything, and now it's a fun left brain thing for me to do after a day of right brain working at work. And so I need it. Don't take it from me, Connor.
Yeah, Connor, stop taking it from
me. Yeah, I'm playing on that? Immortal now, Connor, so it's a little different now.
How is it different? Okay.
It's very hard. It's very difficult. I started a new one today, and within 10 turns, America and Egypt both declared war on me for no reason.
Whoa!
And like when someone denounces you, it'll tell you the reason why. It'll be like, oh, you transgress their agenda. You have more great people than they do. And this time it was like, he just plain doesn't like you. And I was like, oh, great.
Like, great, this is helpful for me.
Yep, and then I almost got my little tush beat in, but don't worry. The Empire of Spain is on its way back.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
Why aren't you just America every time?
They're not very good.
Whoa.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Okay. Why aren't they very good?
They're kind of just a balanced Civ that you can play in any circumstance, but they don't really have any ability that's that really is cutting edge. And I like to play into, you know, a real specific.
What's like the most, like, if you wanted to win a war victory, who would you pick?
Iran is good.
Whoa.
Well, Persia. But they have abilities that are like, you know, you get like +2 movement if you're fighting like certain people. And like if you've just declared a surprise war, you get like +5 combat and stuff. So it encourages you to declare wars and stuff.
What about the lady who has the mounted archers?
Scythia. Tomiris of Scythia. Yes, she's very war-focused, and you can create archers at, I think, a cheaper cost.
What about Germany?
Germany's a good production-focused Civ. Yeah, you can make extra districts, and you get extra production, so you can use them however way you want.
What about Italy?
Italy. Well, there's Rome. That's who I'm playing on your PS5. I'm playing as Rome. Yeah, they're very trade-focused, so you get extra roads.
You got Gabagoo? Gabagool?
Yeah, they got Gabagool. Yeah. You can research Gabagool later on.
Yeah.
But that's all I've been
that's
playing.
That's great, Austin.
We know Trey hasn't been playing
Connor,
anything.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing Dave the Diver, man.
Okay.
Now, this is something you had played before, right? Or is this something you've just always been interested in?
This is something I've been talking about.
Right.
Something I've been juiced for.
Got it for Switch?
And I did. I got it for the Switch. Got it for the holidays.
Nice.
And dude, it's like super relaxing. Like it's very fun, but it's also it's just a pretty relaxing, like you just dive into the water, you're floating around, you're finding fishes, you're harpooning
the fishes. You're making sushi, right? Like you're diving for fish to make sushi, right?
So during the day you go and you dive and you get as many fish as you can, and you can get 2 dives in a day. And so you get in, get as many fish as you can, and then you take them at night over to the sushi bar, and you get the chef to make some delicious sushi, and then you're the server as well.
So it's kind of like Overcooked, where you have to like put in orders, and
it is at the for the sushi chef portion of it, yes.
Right, right. And then it's like maybe the cave diving part of Stardew Valley for the fish?
I guess, but not really. Because there's, like, some of the fish do come after you. Like, there are sharks and stuff. But for the most part, like, the difficulty in catching the fish is, like, your harpoon is only so good at the beginning. So you have to find things in the ocean to help, like, upgrade it so that you can catch bigger and bigger fish.
Okay.
Like, when you start, you're just catching, like, the little dory fish from Finding Nemo. And that's about it. And so you've got to, like, work your way up to go after the big boys, the tunas, the bluegills.
Big old tuna.
So it's got RPG elements, too.
A little bit. It's pretty fun, though.
Some leveling. It sounds right up my alley.
It is a very enjoyable game.
It does sound enjoyable.
It's not really stressful, which is good. It's a great pickup put down, but it does have a full story, which I was not expecting.
Really? Okay.
So, like, you
is
start
it
and
Lovecraftian
it says, like...
Lovecraftian in nature?
There is a giant squid.
Oh!
But it's basically like I didn't expect it to be like that, but you start and it's like you're in the prologue. And then you move on to like discovering ancient civilizations maybe in the water and stuff.
Oh. So does this have sequel potential? Like, will they most assuredly make another one?
What about...
I'm not far enough to know if there's sequel potential, but I know that they did do a DLC. They put out a DLC, a free DLC called Dredge. So I... Maybe. I don't know.
Do you think this has...
Excited to find out.
Squeakquel?
No, I don't think so. Dave is a big old fat guy, and I don't know that he would be good as a chipmunk.
Glad we all remember the shipwrecked. Yeah.
I have
Dave
not,
the Diver.
I got for Christmas, I did get Super Mario Wonder. Not had a chance to play it yet.
So I thought this was your year of 30 games.
Yeah, it is. It hasn't started yet. Okay.
I'm pretty sure we're 9 days into it.
Well, I have a list of games I'm going to start. I went
back. It's just Alan Wake over and over.
It's all Alan Wake, baby. I need to play both of them.
What's your first game that you're going to start with for the year?
Mario Wonder, you could finish. I want to finish Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay, now you understand this is 3 games a month.
Well, I'm also going to... Well, yeah, you can play short games.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
AAA only.
Only AAA.
200
only,
hours.
Yeah, only huge open world games.
Yeah. Am?
And I'm trying to find my list. All right, my backlog list. So, pretty much I have everything at... The first 14 are games... Most of them are games I've started and haven't got back to. So that's Hades, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart, Metroid Prime Remaster, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Tears of the Kingdom, Night in the Woods, Connor, Chrono Trigger, The Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds, Hi-Fi Rush, Cyberpunk 2077, Dead Space, Mario Bros. Wonder, Alan Wake 1 and 2, and Outer Wilds DLC.
You that's might as well 14. Not even try to finish Hades, because you won't.
Yeah, I've never finished it.
All right.
I mean, you should... Play it.
Yeah.
You have it on the Switch, right?
Yeah.
It's a good on the go. If you're at a family event or something, yeah. It's fun to play.
It is a fun game.
It'll take a long time to finish. Yeah.
I enjoyed playing
it. It is a game about hating your family, kind of.
True.
Chrono Trigger and A Link Between Worlds are games I was streaming with people.
Chrono Trigger will take you forever to beat as well.
Is what? It'll take a long time?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just a long RPG.
I think the main thing is Zelda, I think I want to play Marvel Spider-Man 2 and Dead Space, one that need to beat.
Yeah, Trey has a motivation for beating that one.
Alan Wake 1 and 2. I mean, yeah, and then Cyberpunk is another one, and Mario Wonder.
Why don't you try to play each of these before their release date from the previous year?
Interesting.
Be a good deadline for
Interesting.
You.
Interesting. So I could see what, when they were released each year.
Yeah, put them in order, and then it'll be like 2023 all over
again.
So maybe
not do, some of these aren't, some of these didn't come out last year.
Well, the ones that did.
Yeah, okay. I could do that.
Well, then you got to start with the 2022 ones.
Yeah, that's true. Or the 20, I mean.
Well, those are past, so those are, but Dead Space, you're coming up on the deadline.
I am. So we got a bunch of games to look forward to this year that I'm going
to
play.
Well, I'm excited to hear what you've been playing.
I did watch a video game adjacent documentary.
Talk to me.
The Golden Globes are not video
game
adjacent.
No, I'm not talking about the Golden Globes. Though I did see that Neil Druckmann video of him just standing there at the Globes, no one taking a picture of him. Just chilling.
Was he in like a photo booth? Like
no, you know, like on the red carpet. You know how people will like stand and they'll take photos of him. You know, and they're kind of just like posing.
Yeah, probably because no one knows who the hell he is.
But he was like posing, like just standing there with his hands in his pocket, like he was Ryan Gosling, and like no one's doing anything.
Maybe he's doing a bit.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe he asked everyone to go away from him so he could take a photo.
Maybe. I did watch the Boogie 2988 documentary, Connor. Do you know who Boogie is?
Oh, my gosh. Why?
I found it very, it's one of those, it's like watching TLC. It's like watching.
Did it feel like the whale in real life?
Oh, holy shit, dude. It makes you feel like, oh, hey, my issues? Not that bad. Not that bad.
What's wrong with this guy?
Pretty much ruined his career.
Why don't you reset for everyone in Austin?
Yeah, I don't know who this is.
So this is a YouTuber.
Mm-hmm.
He is like one of the original gaming YouTubers.
What did he do?
He did like this character Francis, who would get real angry at games.
But like, you ever see the guy flipping a table?
Yeah, I don't know. He just played everything.
Okay.
And like, he was big into Magic. You know, he just, I never watched his stuff really. I was never a fan of his,
mm-hmm.
but I knew who he was just because he was such, like, he got like trending gamer at the Game Awards years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I guess he just totally wrecked his career because, like, he would do like real shocking humor. He would, you know, just get into a lot of shit. I think he had some like legal, like waved a gun at somebody, had some legal issues. Like, this guy also
bilked his like patrons and like viewers out of thousands of dollars that he ended up just like blowing on stuff.
There is a certain sect of YouTuber Twitch streamer, and it's that one guy. I forgot his name, but he was
Chris
on
Chan.
No, not Chris Chan, but
check out our Chris Chan episode to learn more.
We did,
him.
Yeah. DSP or whatever, Dark Side Phil, that guy. It's like these guys who kind of, their whole bit is, it's this narcissistic thing where, look at me, I'm such a worm, I'm so pathetic that you need to give me money so I can, you know, do the things I want to do.
Yeah, playing a character.
And I'm gonna be, you know, pissed off that I'm not getting money from you. It's
what's this guy's name? Boogie.
It's disgusting. It's very negative. Very, you know, it's not good content. It's very negative and money focused.
Trey's not getting anything out of this, is what he's telling you.
No, I am getting something. So, it's just like, it's one of those things like, oh shit, all my issues, I'm doing all right compared to this guy.
You know what?
It's a 50-minute documentary.
50?
Who put it 50, out? Did 50? He put it out or did someone else put
someone
it out?
Someone else put it out. But it does kind of feel a little bit like...
Is it like the Manziel documentary?
Maybe. You know?
They're a little nicer, maybe, than he deserves.
It's... Like, he promotes it.
Oh, he took his wiener out on Twitch.
Oh, yeah. Like, he promotes it, you know.
You know what? He's looking a lot better.
He is, but he's still humongous. Oh, no, he's dating, like, a 20-year-old. Oh.
Here's how you know he's not doing well. He participated in, like, the YouTube boxing event that happened, like, last year.
Yep.
Did he pummel somebody?
No, he got pummeled.
There was a YouTube boxing event?
It's, like, these, like, old YouTuber dudes who are just, it's like the worst side of YouTube.
Is PewDiePie there?
No, it's like even worse than that.
Is Lonely
it's like
Girl 14?
Dark side of YouTube. It's like the Dark Side Phil kind of people, just like these cretins that I wish I never knew who they were.
Bet JonTron was there.
Maybe.
PBG?
PBG's not going to be there. He's too wholesome. He's like the Caspers of YouTubers.
Oh.
He's like married and shit now. He has a kid.
Well, hey, thoughts,
doing all right.
Thoughts and prayers go out to Boogie.
So, P's and P's. Trey, rate Boogie on thumb stomachs. How many thumb stomachs out of 5 would you give it?
Jesus Christ. I give it 4 out of 5.
The documentary?
It was well produced.
Rate him.
Him? I have no rating. I have no opinion on him. 1 out of 5.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Well, that's the games we've been playing.
Yep, that is.
And the game adjacent stuff Trey's watching. He watching car wrecks.
Sometimes you gotta watch a car wreck to put things in perspective, Connor.
True
That's
words.
Good life.
Never been spoken.
Yes. That's why I look at. Never mind. Actually.
What?
Speaking of car wrecks.
No.
Wait. What do you watch online?
No. Dallas, sometimes Texas like TV. you look at a live? Homeless person, and be like, at least I'm not homeless. But that shouldn't be the barometer that you set yourself to. You know.
Just let you sit in that for a little bit. Okay. I'm going to mark this one.
Yeah, okay.
Time we at.
Actually, don't do that.
Time we at.
Why don't we do... let's do the news.
Let's do the news.
Okay.
We need a news song.
I'll find it later.
Do Auld Lang Syne, Austin.
Should all the GamesCast stories now be on the airwaves? Should all the stories about the games here, they come right to your ears?
Gosh, that was great.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to lead with the most important story. Trey's hero, MatPat, is retiring from YouTube.
Dang. Hey, guys.
Is this MatPat?
It's me. What is it? Was it the game theory? Yeah, it's MatPat.
He is handing off film theory, food theory, and style theory to members of his staff.
Whoa. He has a staff?
Yeah.
I thought he was like 18 or
no,
something.
No, dude, the guy's... No,
he's
like
37.
What? I don't even know what this guy looks like.
He started the series in 2011.
Yep. And I remember watching his stuff back in 2013. Yeah, I was big into his stuff. Like, I was big into, you know, The Completionist and PBG and JonTron and all those guys. Which
you were on your way to becoming one of them.
Yeah.
And Buggy.
Not Buggy. Not him. But, yeah, I mean, he's a hard worker. He's a super nice guy. You know, I'm not going to kick the guy when he's down. I mean, I didn't care for some of the stuff.
It honestly doesn't seem like he's leaving, I think, to have a more serious work-life balance.
Well,
to, like,
yeah,
hang out with his family.
And I think, like, because he was in that Five Nights at Freddy's movie, he might be trying to get into acting. I don't know.
I mean, that could just be part of trying to hang out with your family more.
Yeah, yeah, that too. And
not having to make everything content,
right,
probably is helpful.
It is. No, yeah, shout out to him. He's definitely, you know, no matter what you think of his stuff, like, he got really into the Five Nights at Freddy's stuff, and that's kind of when I fell off, because I don't care about Five Nights at Freddy. And but, like, I mean, yeah, shout out, like, he worked hard and he made a lot of, I mean, he probably touched a lot of people, you know, with his content, and helped a lot of people out with, you know how it is. You find someone that you like and they kind of get you through the day. So, no, I mean, shout out to him. And he didn't go out in a bad way. It
no.
wasn't a completionist kind of thing. It wasn't a...
he's not being told to leave you.
Right, which is great.
Or he's preemptively leaving.
Maybe. I don't know.
He's very...
Mr. Rogers-y.
You have 2,200 subscribers now, Trey.
There we go.
Last video, 5 years
Shout
ago.
Shout out to MatPat.
Twitch is cutting 500 employees, about 35% of their staff, in round two of layoffs.
Let's call it what it actually is. Amazon is cutting that many people from Twitch. Because Amazon owns Twitch, right?
Correct.
They're doing it all over the company.
That Jeff Bezos.
You gotta make as much money as humanly possible.
Right.
Or the shareholders will not be happy.
More value must be extracted even if there is none to be found. Got that, Trey?
I got it.
Well, you can extract value by just cutting overhead.
You can't.
Right. But eventually, you'll run out of overhead to cut.
And making your stuff worse.
Yeah. Way to go, Trey.
Yeah, I did it. I'm Jeff Bezos. That's why I live in this shitty little apartment.
Twitch is also banning implied nudity. Don't know if those two are related. If
there
the
was
ban
a whole
the,
deal with
the
Twitch
reason
about,
why they're...
wasn't there a whole thing about that they were like, yeah, we'll allow nudity, now we won't allow nudity, and all
they
that?
Did it was do for like quick 2 days, right?
Yeah.
They allowed
yes.
it.
Yes, correct. The Twitch has released an update to its sexual content guidelines banning implied nudity, effective immediately.
What does that mean?
It means... so they did this.
It's like
there was
Austin
a meta
Powers.
In which streamers were covering themselves with black sensor bars, other items, or positioned the camera frames to give viewers the
so
impression that they were naked.
It's Austin Powers. It's like Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Bits, you know?
Yeah, that's fun.
Got a little banana like in front of him and the little sausage is getting cut.
Or that Asian guy on YouTube.
Yeah.
Where he like swings.
Oh, go ahead.
He just like will swing a pendulum in front of the camera and then like move his hips with it while he's nude and you like can't see his dong.
Funny. Awesome Powers.
The new update says, we do not permit streamers to be fully or partially nude, including exposing genitals or buttocks. Nor do we permit streamers to imply or suggest they are fully or partially nude, including, but not limited to, covering breasts or genitals with objects or sensor bars.
What if I went on Twitch right now and just said, we're all naked under our clothes?
Yeah, where's the line drawn?
Yeah.
Like, partial nudity, like, Trey and I are partially nude right now.
We are.
We have skin showing.
Yeah, what if I am in a sleeveless shirt?
Yeah.
What if I'm really hot and took off my shirt and had a six-pack?
No, that wouldn't happen. The only way to be on Twitch now is just to wear a full burqa.
Why? I know.
That's what they're doing. They're infiltrating.
That's what they're trying to do.
They're trying to get to Austin's proclivities of CNFM.
Of what?
NM. Huh? CFNM. Sorry. forgot the last letter.
Wait, I don't know what you're spelling out.
Clothed female, nude male.
Oh, never heard of that.
That's what Austin likes.
Really?
Yeah. Is that Trey's a fetish thing?
Yeah, Trey's more of a clothed female or clothed male, nude female.
Yeah, like the other way around.
Yeah. I can't see men's junk. It makes me feel weird.
You can't see men's junk?
I can't see men's junk. Semen junk.
Hey, don't worry. We've got a happy story. Unity cuts more than 1,800 more staff in a company reset.
Well, I mean, they made the new engine and works great. So what do we need all these people for, right? Like, it just, it's there.
After their three rounds of layoffs last year, they've cut 25% of the staff.
Well, how... So, is this all due to overhiring during the pandemic, or is this due to, like, shareholder value reaching its limit?
It's a great question. They're calling it a company reset, so whatever you think that means.
But isn't Unity, like, the number one used third-party engine software? Like, why do they need to
reset?
I think
they're changing it, because I think there was some stuff with Unity, right, where a lot of people are jumping off.
Well, that was because of the thing where they were going to charge for uninstalls. I guess they just, because they recently hired a new CMO or CEO or something, right? And I guess he's just extracting maximum value.
This does stem back to the pricing model that they announced that was panned so hard. They lost a ton of business.
As they should have. I bet a lot of people jumped from Unity and went to another engine.
So, I don't know. This just comes as a ton of layoffs happened in the games industry last year. And they, I guess, are not going to stop this year either.
Yeah. I mean, as artificial intelligence gets more advanced, too, it's just going to replace more jobs and stuff.
Good.
If only we could have a way of seeing this ahead of time and maybe taking care of people.
No,
there will be more jobs. We'll find more jobs.
Yeah,
they grow on trees.
Work on the robots. Make sure the robots.
Let's make the AI run off of coal.
Yeah,
and then we can have more coal digging jobs, and then we'll be all good.
You're good. Until we get robots to take the coal.
Well, then we need someone to supply those robots with coal.
That's true.
Someone has to supply the coal.
Yeah. And that'll be you and me, Trey.
Yeah.
Switch 2 predicted to arrive in 2024 with a $400 price point.
That's a lot of Uber driving.
I saw this, and it was just one guy's rumor, right? He said it was going to be iterative, and it was going to be $400.
Correct. This is just a rumor, but I think it is a very realistic rumor.
I could see that.
I think that's the smart thing to do.
I think 400 is at the upper limit of reasonable price point for something like that. If it's as powerful as an Xbox One or something.
And I think iterative is the right thing to do as well.
I think so too. They've perfected the concept. Now they just need to refine it.
Yeah.
And I'll buy it. I'll buy two or three of them like I always do.
Two or three?
Well, over the years, you know. I have two Switches.
Oh, you do?
Well, I have an OLED and a regular.
Shit.
And the limited edition Bon Jovi edition.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice.
Which sings Living on a Prayer every time you turn it on.
Yeah. And the whole time you play.
That's distracting.
You know how many of those there were?
One?
It was one.
Wow.
Made by me.
One of one. Look at you.
I do think that this is the way to go, and I mean, it's time. It's time for a new Switch.
It is.
Yeah. It's great, but it is starting to show how underpowered it is. I mean, playing Civilization on that thing versus playing on my Series X is
What also what I need from it though is like, can we figure out the Joy-Cons?
Yeah.
I got drift on my colored ones. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, that's the one thing I need. Like, if you can if you guys can figure out the Joy-Cons, like that's honestly the worst part of the Switch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which,
like,
luckily,
I can live with a lot of the other stuff, but that shit, it's horrible.
Luckily, it's not something inherently wrong with the console itself. Like, if it didn't attach to the TV, or if, like, you couldn't play it on the go or something, like, it's at least something that they can fix, which they better do it, because they haven't before.
I do feel like it is a thing that they could have actually fixed if they had wanted to, but because the Joy-Cons aren't actually attached to the console itself, they didn't feel as much of a reason to need to do that.
Right. Which you just buy more.
But whatever. That's how Nintendo, am I right? But
next story.
Anyway, next story. Metal Gear Solid 3 and Silent Hill are getting remakes, according to Sony.
We knew about Silent Hill. Wait, you said Silent Hill what? Just the regular
Silent
original?
Hill 2?
Okay, yeah, we know about that one. But I guess the original Metal Gear Solid we didn't know about.
Oh, now we're getting Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater.
Right. Wait, did they say Metal Gear Solid 1 remake? Or just Snake Eater?
I literally was just saying the names of the series, and then I was going to say which games were getting remade.
Oh, no, yeah, but that's... What's the story? Because they announced those already.
Have they remade 1 and 2?
No.
Yeah, okay. They announced it on January 4th, Trey.
Yeah. No.
So I'm doing this story because we haven't been on in a couple weeks.
See, Trey,
No. They did it last year.
Wait, hold on.
They had a whole thing last year for Silent Hill and Metal Gear 3.
Well, you're in the Kojima Club, so you get the insider info.
No, they did it at, like, the Game Awards or something. No, they did it, like, at the E3 thing with Metal Gear Solid 3.
They didn't have E3.
Can you tell me the name of the studio that's developing it?
It's not Blue Point. I don't know what it is.
This is the fakest sounding name I've ever heard. Bloober Team.
Oh, yeah, Bloober Team. They do horror games and stuff.
Bloober Team. Like, no, we all know who that is.
I listen to a lot of video game podcasts, Stop Connor. It. I know who Bloober Team is. They do horror video
Stop
games.
Stop it.
Okay, name the CEO.
I don't know the CEO.
Name
I'm
the
gonna
CFO.
I'm going to look it up right now. You have a guess.
Yeah.
CEO is Mr. Bloober.
Let's see if
Bob
Steve
Bloober.
You are wrong. It is... Piotr Babiano.
Hey, baby to Bobby. But yes, Connor, this was announced last year. But I know I saw the article as well, but it's like, why are they announcing this? Like,
He's
it's a
Polish.
News story.
He's Polish.
Polish.
Got a lot of extra consonants.
So
in
is there
name.
A reason why this is a news story today?
No. Okay. I just thought it would be fun to talk about. But
no, it is fun. No. I didn't know if there was some kind of...
Trey, back it up and let's delete... Let's go back and rewind the tape, and we'll delete everything Connor said. Since
I'll just stop doing news that's already happened.
No, Connor, I'm not saying this is a you thing.
Only future news.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm just gonna,
only predicts.
I saw this story, and I'm like, well, didn't they already announce it? Why are they re-announcing that they announced everything?
Let's mark this.
Well, I'm going to do another story that's already happened. I hope that's okay with you.
Sure.
Jack Black's playing Minecraft Steve.
Yeah, that was announced a few days ago, Connor. Way to be up
he's
on
playing
it.
Steve. So what
he's
is
playing
J-
Steve.
What is Jason Momoa doing then?
He's playing a what do they call them? The little grifters. Little.
Do you? Yeah. So we have what? The current cast includes Grifter. Emma Myers, Danielle Brooks, Sebastian Eugene Hansen. Is that Evan Hansen? Trey.
That's not him.
Oh, Jason Momoa was in talks for the role, but. Seems like he's not anymore.
Oh, okay. I thought he was confirmed for the role.
Nope.
He would have made a better Steve than Jack Black.
I don't know, man.
He does have a similar voice to the one that Steve normally uses.
Jack Black is old. Wait, is this this is live action?
Yes.
This is not animated.
Correct. I don't know. Maybe it's a Jumanji thing where like they go
or
into
it's
the
gonna
game.
Be, hold on. Why did you pronounce it like
that? Yeah. You really emphasized the Jew.
Yeah.
The Jumanji.
Jumanji. Yeah, you pronounced it like the word Hasidic was in front of it.
Oh, God.
Everyone pronounces it normally like J apostrophe Manji. Like
Jumanji.
Yeah, Jumanji.
Jumanji.
But Trey said it like he was talking about the Hasidic.
I was talking about those tunnels in New York.
Yeah, the Hasidic Jumanji.
The Jumanjis. Those Jumanjis.
I would always watch getting Hasidic up something. Jumanji, though.
I would, too. Who would be the star? Seth Rogen?
Well, he's not Hasidic.
He could pretend. That's what acting is, Connor.
This is either going to be a... Like you were saying, it's like, oh, we get sucked into the game, and now we gotta play it. Or it's going to be a fish-out-of-water thing where Jack Black gets transported to Minecraft world, but it's like real life. But it's like he has to... Or... Which I hope they do is that it's just he exists in Minecraft world already, and then something happens, and he has to like dig up the ground and punch the trees and stuff, and it's like there's no explanation for why any of that is happening, but it happens.
I kind of would rather it be that Minecraft Steve gets dropped in New York,
and he starts tearing down buildings and stuff.
Yeah, and they're all blocks when he starts breaking them down.
Okay, well, are we putting Minecraft movie bets on the floor now?
No, I don't think so. But I do like the idea that there is going to be a Minecraft movie, and it's going to make $1 billion.
Oh, yeah, and we'll go see it.
You know, people are lamenting the fall of Marvel. Just be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, here's the rise of Minecraft. This is,
no, it's the video game property movies.
It's the new MCU.
That's what we're going to get. Is
well,
a
the thing
Marvel's
is, this
done?
Did exist before.
Yeah, but not at this rate.
Yeah, this is the next thing. This
what, all video thing. Game adaptations?
Yeah. All these, yeah.
Thanks, Last
Kids
of Us.
Video game. Well, it's more Mario movie than Last of Us.
Thanks, Mario 1994.
Yeah, yeah. Mario.
That's really what set it off.
It
We're
did.
All thinking it.
It's the Spider-Man. It's the Sam Raimi Spider-Man of video game movies. It's the one that kind of sparked
I get that reference.
Thank you.
I've seen movies. Big news. You know how we're always talking about how, you know, executive level positions aren't fair and they're just
right.
cutting people out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not representative enough. Well, enter James Reed Venable.
What?
He's a 57-year-old former senior business director at Activision Blizzard, and he said that he's suing them because he's been retaliated and discriminated against. Because he was laid off for being old and white.
That's true, man.
Is that what they wrote in the email? That he's old and white?
No, that's what he wrote in his legal briefings.
What evidence is he bringing to the table?
Venable accused former CEO Bobby Kotick of saying at a leadership conference that the company's problem was that it had, quote, too many old white guys. Two old white executives in their 50s left the company at least in part because of the statement from Kotick, which the complaint describes as ageist.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Well, what they said, too many black guys, then it would be racist, right, Alston? I think.
Well, it wouldn't be true because I don't think they have
any
black
guys. I think the people
who
always talk about race are
the racists. Blizzard's issue is that it has too many black people working there.
It does. I think it does. That's my issue with it.
Yeah, I feel that when I play World of Warcraft.
Overwatch, where there's
two black... You know what the problem is? They don't hire fans. They just don't hire fans.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Fans. I also don't want fans making a game,
to
be honest with you.
Can you imagine Trey sitting on the board of Metal Gear Solid next to Kojima?
Not enough skin showing. Not enough skin showing.
I need more.
Kojima's like, no to kadeo mosorio mo. And Trey's like, what did he say? And then he's like, why do we have this guy here?
That'd be mean.
He's a fan.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't even own it anymore, so it wouldn't be him.
Yeah, well, Trey would be on the board of the walking game.
Oh, Death Stranding?
Yeah.
So you're talking about
more like Death Standing, am I right?
That's another game that I need to
For a second
later.
Later,
a female employee in Venable's department made a comment on his, quote, white male privilege in an email to his boss and the HR department.
And?
This guy's my dad's hero.
Months later, he was fired. He believes it was in retaliation for his HR complaint.
Months later? Just for inventing Ziggy?
Yep. So there
Which
you go.
Which is a claim that Trey's dad made.
I'm very excited to see Guy sue giant corporation for firing him because he was
for being
too
white.
Old and too
That's what
white.
I should have done with the ticket.
Ageism is a real thing.
It is.
But I don't know if being, what was he, 53 or something falls into that.
I'm going to make an ageist statement right now.
Okay.
Right? If you're older than 65, get out of the workforce.
Yes. That is just something that would help the
rest
of us.
Yeah, but some people don't have that ability to do that.
Connor is saying, if you're old, kill yourself.
I'm not saying that. But I am saying that you should be able to opt out at 65.
Should be able to retire.
Be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of people stay. Anyway, that's all.
I'm with you.
So we can get promotions and jobs, Trey.
Maybe I think billionaires should buy their own fucking stadiums.
That's right. That's right, Trey.
Yeah.
Speaking of killing yourself, yeah. Connor, don't let me forget after the show to tell you the story about how I saw a guy almost kill himself yesterday.
Okay, I won't. Okay, listeners, you'll never hear it, but I'll
You're review
never
going to hear the story, listeners.
I'll
Sorry.
Review his story next week. Well, I wanted
it wasn't
jump.
Me. It was not me.
It was not
me.
Trey, surprisingly.
It was not me, surprisingly.
I want to jump to what I don't have a good name for our awards. We should have come up with one ahead of time. The 64-ies, I don't know.
The Gamesies, the Casties.
The Casties.
The Gamesy Casties, the Augies, the Little Augies. The
Ooh,
Little Augie
I like
awards.
The Little Augie.
The Little Augie
okay,
Awards.
Well, we're going to do our, we're going to salute 2023. We're going to do the Little Augie Awards.
The Little Augie Awards.
I had each of us come up with a couple of awards that we're going to give, and then as a crew, we're going to give awards for Best Game of the Year, personally, each of us, and then a Best Game of the Year as a show, and then I think maybe Best Episode that we did that we can
Ooh.
Remember.
Oh, I don't
remember a single
episode.
Doesn't matter. I have a couple in mind that we can talk about.
Okay,
so.
We can
oh,
vote
Trey
on
Trey said
it.
This dumb thing. Trey said this flaw.
No, it has nothing to do with you, Trey. Megalomaniac.
I am. Narcissist.
When making our new video clips, I always try to balance one Trey flub with one Trey joke. That was successful.
Yeah, like your Cholula joke was killer.
Cholula was killer. That was killer. That counts as two Trey flubs.
Okay.
We'll be even.
Well, I would like to start... if you guys are okay with that, I did three awards.
Should we go round robin and each of us do one of ours and then we'll do it again?
Yeah, I think that works. I'm going to start with games you might have missed in 2023. Because as you know, I like little indie games.
You do.
So here are the games that you might have missed in 2023. The Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't know if you guys remember that. That was like a little joke online, not Flash game that Sega actually put out. It was like a point-and-click detective adventure.
Sega, I do remember hearing
about
that.
I do recall this. Hold on.
Yes, that is a real thing. So, worth checking out if you haven't already.
This is actually produced by Sega?
In some part, yes.
Okay.
I don't think Sonic Team made it, but...
This has incredible reviews. It has a 10 out of 10 on Steam with 20,000 reviews.
What kind of game is it?
It's point-and-click, and it's basically Nancy Drew, which, you wouldn't know what that's like.
You wouldn't either.
Dang.
You wouldn't either.
Interesting. Anyway, so that's one of my games. Number two, Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot. I was talking to a friend last night, and I mentioned that came out, and they looked at me stunned, and they could
Advanced
not believe...
Advance Wars Reboot.
Yeah, Advance Wars 1 and 2, which is the... it's the military version of Fire Emblem, where you control armies and tanks and planes and stuff. That got re-released last year, and I was pretty under the radar, but those are really great games.
Well, it got delayed initially... Because of the actual Ukraine war that was going on. But I remember that being one of the best. Is that one of the best selling Game Boy Advance games? I feel like that was gangbusters when it came out.
If it wasn't one of the best, it's one of the most well remembered and the most talked about. Like people people bring that up a lot.
Yeah, and the remake was very well received.
Blasphemous.
The best selling. Okay. On a, it's mostly Mario and Pokemon games. I'm trying to find Advance Wars. I'm going down the list, not seeing it.
Oh shit! I retract my statement. It's one of the most beloved.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
It took advantage of the Game Boy Advance's advanced hardware.
Oh, there you go.
Hence the name Advanced Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Blasphemous 2.
Okay.
Which is like a... It is a Metroidvania in like a kind of disgusting Bloodborne Dark Souls type world where everything is like horrifying to look at.
Okay.
I like that. I like horrifying things.
So that's pretty cool. And then my award goes to Pizza Tower.
Hey!
If something I've very much been wanting to play.
Yeah, Pizza Tower. I just don't want people to miss it. If you love Wario, the Wario Land pizza. Games, it is that, and it has pizza, and it's hand-drawn, and it's crazy-looking.
Looks sort of like Ren and Stimpy.
Did
like
you play
old Nickelodeon style? No.
Yes, it's hard.
It it seems very hard.
It's hard.
Did you like it?
I did like it because I love the games that it's taking inspiration from.
Right. Is it on Switch?
I played it on Steam.
Okay.
But it is a game. If it's not on Switch yet, it will be. Just wait.
Yes, this is animated, hand-drawn platformers are perfect for the Switch.
That was my list, so I give my award for most games you might have missed. Number one is Pizza Tower, so I'll kick it over to Trey.
So, I have a list of coolest games that I will never play.
I love it. Okay, go ahead.
And this is games that come out this year.
Okay.
And on this list, I have Lies of P, which is that Pinocchio Bloodborne game.
Alyssa really liked that. Our spooky friend.
I got T'Chia.
What's that?
Pleasant little open world game.
Okay.
I got Blasphemous 2. Talos Principles 2. Pizza Tower.
Did you say Talos Principles? Yeah. Is that a Skyrim spin-off?
It's like a puzzle game.
Okay.
System Shock, which is the remake of that System Shock game.
Of the predecessor to BioShock.
Yes. Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 16, ooh. Dave the Diver, Armored Core. I had Cocoon, Pikmin 4, and Baldur's Gate 3, but I do want to play those games. It's not that I don't want to play these games. And
what was this list?
Coolest games that I probably won't play this year. And I gave it to... It was sort of a head-to-head between System Shock and Dave the Diver. I do think I will play Dave the Diver. So that should not be the winner. Final Fantasy 16 looks cool, maybe. I put System Shock because the game looks cool. And
you
I appreciate
it.
I hear it's so impenetrable, too. Because like they don't... Impenetrable, like it's hard to... get through. It's hard to really like because they don't explain anything. It just seems like it's very dense or very you know, it's not holding your hand.
In a review that I heard from someone who really likes System Shock, they said it does a great job of bringing some of System Shock into the modern era of games, but at the same time, like, it ends up... Like, System Shock is just not meant to be played these like now. Like, games have iterated on it and done better.
Yeah.
But, like, BioShock was one of them.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, System Shock 1, coolest game that I probably will not play.
Okay.
Austin.
So, I've got game with the most TV show or movie adaptation potential.
Hmm.
Since we're hot into the era of making video game adaptations... no, Minecraft isn't on this list. so I'm going to start with the runners-up. I think this one could see Cyberpunk like...
They've already done that.
Cyberpunk-like success.
Okay.
In that the game did not do well, but the show did. I think Starfield could make a good show.
Mm-hmm.
It's written in a way that would make an entertaining show to watch, but it's kind of boring to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can actually flesh out the planets and the space travel, and you can get to know all the wacky characters that they could have come up with. Pikmin is another one. I think that would make a fun little, just like that new Pokemon show that just came out, the stop motion one, where the hotel Pokemon. I think a little Pikmin miniseries would be a lot of fun for the kids, and maybe something for the adults, some little sexy,
little innuendo.
Olimar with some big old titties.
Okay, dude.
But I think that would make a fun adaptation. And the winner, it's gonna be Baldur's Gate.
Okay.
Could be like Game of Thrones.
But isn't the appeal of Baldur's Gate being that you could make your own decisions and make your own stories?
Now, that's what we would have said before that D&D movie that came out last year,
okay,
which did really well,
yeah,
which people liked. And I enjoyed it tremendously, and I was like, oh, this isn't boring. It is like playing the game. You could see all the things that you can do in the game. And you know, they got all your favorite characters and stuff, and I really enjoyed it. I think a Baldur's Gate, because Baldur's Gate has set characters and a deep story that would be very good for an HBO show.
Okay,
that's okay. My that's TV show or movie adaptation potential.
Nice. No Mario Wonder on there. No Alan Wake. Alan Wake is pretty much a movie.
We already had a Mario one, and Alan Wake. We already had an Alan Wake movie.
What?
Wasn't Mark Wahlberg in it?
I don't think so, man. I don't think there was. There was never an Alan Wake
movie. Oh, you know what? I'm thinking of Max Payne.
That's true.
Yeah.
The guy died, by the way, RIP. The voice of Max Payne.
Max Payne?
Yeah.
He's fictional, so.
Well, the guy who voiced him died.
He's not real either.
Okay. Not Connor, anymore. Next list.
Games that make me sad, 2023.
Oh, no!
I
don't want you to be sad, Connor.
Number one, Atomic Heart, a game that looked really, really cool and ended up sucking.
Oh, yeah, put that on my list of cool-looking games I probably won't play.
Well, it ended up sucking, so there's no reason for you
to play
it.
So it made you sad because it sucked. Because
it looked really cool. When I first saw the trailer, I was, like, very interested in it, and as the reviews kept coming out, I was...
You didn't play it yourself?
Sad. No, because the reviews made it seem like it was a waste of time.
All right.
This didn't make me sad, but it made the cast sad.
Uh-oh.
Starfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did.
And yeah.
And then well, I ended up giving this little Augie two.
Wait, say the category again.
Games that made me slash us sad in 2023.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings Gollum.
Oh, no.
I wanted it to be so good. I wanted Trey to play it and love it. I was hoping that we would get a lot more Gollum on the cast because Trey would be playing it a bunch, but...
This is why...
Not
this just
be.
Shows you can't do full head of hair Gollum.
No.
Like they did. They had a full Beatles mop top on him. He had glorious locks.
He did.
And the game was broken.
It was.
They spent too much money on those hair physics.
Did anyone think this game had was going to be good at any point?
No, yeah, absolutely not. But I believed. I just wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Wanted it.
Shed a tear.
Games I've just now heard of. This is a list of... a lot of times when I listen to, you know, Giant Bomb or Next Lander Game of the Year awards, I'm like, what the hell is this game I've just heard of?
This is a category that if my dad was writing it, you could put every game.
Right, probably. And so I got Remnant 2.
Okay.
Chance of Sinnar.
Okay.
El Paso Elsewhere. Thirsty Suitors. Exit 8. Breakout 13. And the winner is Dredge, which is like it's like a Lovecraftian thing, and you control a little boat. It's really
Connor,
nice. It's well
Connor
animated.
Mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, Dredge. I don't think it was. Is it
it's the
same
DLC
thing?
To Dave the Diver,
is
right?
It?
That's what he said.
Dredge.
I don't know if it is or not. I do know that the Dave the Diver stuff is called Dredge. Let me look.
No, I don't think it is because Dredge is its own thing.
Oh, Trey, give
it
us.
It is confusing that they are different.
Okay.
It is also a fishing game, though.
It is a fishing game. So it's like a fishing horror game.
Well, Trey, while you have the floor, why don't you give us a minute on each of those games you wrote down?
Let me look them down. So, Remnant 2 is like this like third-person shooter game. Thirsty Suitors, what is it? Breakout 13, I want to say, is a sort of like a point-and-click game, but it's like a horror game.
Okay.
And... what was the... Viewfinder, it's not on the list because I'd heard about it before,
but it is a game that looks really cool, Connor.
That's like the puzzle game where you place a picture into the world.
Yes.
To match
it doesn't
up
make the list because it's like I've heard of it, but I heard of it before I listened to the Game of the Year Award podcast, but it's a really good one. I totally forgot it came out this year. It looked really cool. Yeah, you put like a picture and then that becomes the world and you go through it. But Dredge wins the Augie of games I've just now heard of.
I also looked it up. There is a Dave the Diver Dredge DLC, which is a nod. It's a nod to the game Dredge.
Oh, okay.
It's not a crossover, but it is a crossover kind
of. It's like themed kind of?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Austin, you're up.
So my next Augie category is End of an Era.
End of an Era, which like Obama.
We high five. Oh, Trey fell over. This goes to games and game franchises, I think, that gave it one last go this year, and I think maybe are going to
I'm
going to
say you're wrong fizzle on some out. Of these.
So my first one, I'll start with the runners-up, F-Zero. They put out F-Zero 99, which was fun, and I think people played it, but it seemed like they were putting out a little fishing line in the lake to see, you know, who would bite and how big this would get, and I don't think it did as well as they were wanting, and they were going to use it as a measuring stick to see who wants more F-Zero. And I think the world maybe has passed F-Zero by. It's like you were saying earlier about System Shock. It's like it's fun, but there's better games that have iterated on it that have made the mechanics more modern, and F-Zero just doesn't have enough to bring it into the modern age, enough different. And so I think that we might have seen the last of us playing F-Zero. Next, sadly, okay, so this had DLC that came out this year, so I'm still going to count it. But I think Horizon might be, despite them making a TV show.
Yeah, they're making a TV show.
I know, but still, I think the...
They left it at a cliffhanger, too. They're going to make another one.
It didn't sell nearly as well as I thought, though. And yeah, it went up against, what was it last year?
Elden Ring.
Yeah, that's right. I think that maybe... Sony is just kind of like we tried.
Don't think so. It's one of their big tentpole franchises.
But I don't think it grasps the attention of people like they thought it would, and it did not sell as well as they thought it would. I love it.
Where are you seeing that it didn't sell as well?
It's a dearly beloved game.
But where are you so?
It didn't meet expectations.
In April 2023, developer Guerrilla Games confirmed plans about expanding the world of Horizon with Aloy's next adventure, hinting to possibly a direct sequel to Forbidden West is likely to be in development.
Likely so, to be.
I don't think they're canceling
a likely it. Story.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a... what was that one game with remember with the zombies and you had a motorcycle and we played it at that PlayStation thing with Soroy. Days Gone.
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
a Days Gone situation.
Okay.
It's a beloved franchise.
Well,
I mean, hey, it's your list.
No, I'm striking this from the record.
Your list.
The winner, though, unfortunately, is one of my favorites. It's Dead Space.
Really?
I mean, ever since the remake came out, we've heard nothing of it because they said this was going to be a test to see if people want more Dead Space. And I think it did well enough. I think it was very well received. I don't know if it sold well enough, but we've heard basically nothing from EA since then.
But they're not going to, if they do another one, it's going to be in, that could come out for a few years.
Yeah, but they're not going to come out and say like, hey, this sold well. We're going to get ready for more Dead Space. It's going to.
Do you see EA saying anything about anything?
Yeah, they're a chatty company.
I don't know.
Maybe they'll remake the second one, which is better than the first. But we'll see. So the End of an Era goes to Dead Space.
I disagree with you on those.
Okay, I'm striking this one from the
record. No, you
nope,
keep
nope,
it.
It's gone. So F-Zero is now the winner.
Okay.
Dang.
Connor?
My last category is called Best Layoffs of 2023.
Nice.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So,
make me sad.
Wait, one second, Connor. United States Dead Space was the second best-selling game of January 2023 behind Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
There's not many games out in January,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I guess not. Anyway. Go ahead, Connor. Layoffs.
Bungie for laying off over 100 employees. Epic Games for laying off over 900 games or 900 employees. Unity for laying off over 1,800 employees. And my winner for best layoffs of 2023 goes to Microsoft for laying off over 10,000 jobs.
10,000?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that many.
Yep. Through all their various
they deserve tendrils. It.
They deserve it.
They deserve the Augie.
They deserve the little Augie for that.
Shout out for best layoffs.
Is the Augie has a little hammer and sickle
it's
at the top?
It's just a, yeah, it's shorts with a hammer and sickle.
Yeah.
Good for Microsoft.
Good for Microsoft.
They really, really thought about the bottom line this year.
I don't. My last category is sort of what my game of the year is. So I don't know if I should even.
We
do
can
it.
Skip it. Skip it. Skip
right,
it. Skip
yep,
it.
Save okay. it. I have one more though. One
Go
more
ahead.
Cat. Best use of tit.
Okay.
This year.
I knew this was going to be a category. Go ahead.
Runners up. Diablo 4.
You don't have to say it in a whisper like that.
Diablo 4.
You're out of breath.
You're just hearing that way.
For those revealing sexy barbarian costumes. You can is Trey marking this to remove
it? No, I'm just seeing for recording still.
Lots of good tit in Diablo 4. They really skimped on the outfits.
But right.
Fucking perv. Number 2. Runner-up might get us in trouble because I think these characters are underage. But Fire Emblem, Engage? Okay. Is Fire Emblem, what are they, adults? They're fake.
They're probably adults and or their age is never mentioned.
Yeah, but Fire Emblem is always up there in the running for best tit use. They like to bust up those girls and the guys sometimes. And the same happened for Fire Emblem Engage, but we all know who the tit Augie is going to.
No Final Fantasy 16 on this?
No. I didn't consider
Bayonetta?
It. Let me do a little research real quick.
Is it no Bayonetta? Pikmin?
It is Baldur's Gate, where you can customize down to like whether you want your vaginal lips to go in or out. Like you can customize the genitals.
How long were you on that for?
I'm not a character customizer. It's very tedious and boring to me.
I love it.
So I just hit randomize and I started playing. But you can customize the tit. Size, ratio, number,
ratio,
angle.
Number,
yeah. So that's
just like one huge tit coming out of my
yeah,
chest.
Yeah, you could. Baldur's Gate is going to take the cake.
Congrats, Baldur's Gate. Did,
yeah.
did they think they would ever get an award for best tit?
Probably.
All right.
From some porn awards.
Well, do you want to do our personal games of the year, and then we can do the overall game of the year.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, my games this year, relatively limited, so I'm not even going to go down the list, but I will just tell you what my game of the year is.
Okay.
The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Whoa! That's a surprise.
Is
really?
My game
what'd
of
you
the
think
year.
He would, what'd you think he would say?
I thought he would have said, like, Dave the Diver.
I really, really enjoyed my time with Tears of the Kingdom. It added things that I and provided more value than I didn't think was possible when I first saw it based on like trailers and stuff, because it did just look like the same sort of world. Mm-hmm. But they added so much in it. It really made it totally different than the first one. And I think that's commendable, and it was excellent, and it was very fun. And part of the game was like, hey, can you just break our game? Like, that was part of the gameplay, and that was a cool mechanic, and I really, really enjoyed my time with it.
I agree. I think even though it wasn't a great Zelda game, per se, I think it was a fantastic game.
Yeah.
And they added enough Zelda stuff to this one. They've put in some dungeon-ish dungeons and made it a little closer to a Zelda game, but yeah, I agree. It's fantastic.
Yeah. The underground stuff, the above world stuff, it all just meshed so well with each other where, hey, I'm getting a little tired of doing stuff up here. I'm going to go underground, and it's all very connected. The exploration felt better. A lot more caves, and like that was always my thing. Like playing Skyrim, I'm like, this would be awesome if, like, Zelda, you just go into a cave.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like a big, like, puzzle thing.
Link's abilities felt much more streamlined, and they worked better in this, and they felt less random. Like, oh, you can make a block of ice for no reason. Like, this, I really liked the integration in the story
those
of
powers
Link's
are
abilities.
So well done.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think the story, and it's, I don't like how they do the little memories.
Yeah.
Don't like that really, but the actual story is kind of sad.
It's kind of sad, and it's very good. It's very touching.
Yeah. I need to finish it, but I'm like 125 hours into it. I don't think I got anywhere near that in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic game.
It's the game Breath of the Wild should have been.
Well, yeah, sure. I guess I'll go through mine. I had a category of games I half finished or even just kind of started. And so I guess my runners up. Well, I got here's all the games I even like touch. It's Starfield, Humanity, Hi-Fi Rush, Spider-Man 2, Dead Space, Metroid Prime Remaster, and Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Humanity is the one that we played on your PlayStation with all the people where you have that was a fun puzzle game.
So I put as my top three Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man 2, and Hi-Fi Rush. Probably the other two would be Metroid Prime Remaster and Dead Space.
Okay.
My runners up, Hi-Fi Rush, Spider-Man 2, Tears of the Kingdom, winner.
Look at that.
Look at that.
We have a streak going.
Austin?
So, mine is a game that probably won't surprise anybody. It's a game that I played Starfield. A ton. No, not Starfield. I played maybe 3 hours on it. I mean, like people have been saying, like my game of the year is Sid Meier's Civilization VI. It's a wonderful game, Trey. Trey thinks I'm serious. It's Tears of the Kingdom.
I knew you weren't serious.
For everything I just said about with Connor, it's Nintendo hit it out of the park. They know what they're doing to make good games.
They know what they're doing.
Like, they can take a game that's almost identical and then still make you play like 200 hours on it. Great.
That was the kind of the first big game we talked about when the podcast started. And it's the last game we'll ever talk about.
Yeah, because we started right as
NX
news was coming out, and then Breath of the Wild and everything came down. That
now
was
it's the last game we'll ever talk about.
Yeah. Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah.
Good bookend.
I think all around Tears of the Kingdom. What would could we all agree on a second place? Could we do a unanimous second place vote?
Huh. I don't think I've played enough good games to get a unanimous second place, but I would say, just based on like having talked to people, Alan Wake probably.
Yeah, that's like my game I really want to play. And I want to play the first one first, but I've been hearing so many good things about Alan Wake.
I tried Baldur's Gate and it was just too tedious. And
it seems like a lot.
It's too RNG and it's too it would make a perfect tabletop game, and they made it a little too complicated.
Someone described it as like Baldur's Gate is great, but it is hindered by the fact that it is D&D. Like the whole system underneath it is D&D.
Yeah.
And so that makes the video game feel a little stilted and make you feel like, well, I'll just go play D&D.
Like, there's too much minutia that you have to deal with and change and set. Like, Skyrim is a perfect example of a D&D game that is streamlined for fast-paced
It's like
console
spiritually
playing.
D&D.
Yeah. I can imagine Baldur's Gate would be a lot more fun with some friends. If only I had some.
I don't have them either. Sucks.
It's a big shame.
Yeah.
So I got one friend who can't afford Baldur's Gate. It's Trey. And
yeah.
Then, you know. We could play it together.
We could.
But I didn't. It's not even runner up for game of the year.
Well, I mean, Alan Wake, I mean, I've not played it, but that would be a great option. I think my list here of what I've played, I think Dead Space or Spider-Man or Metroid Prime Remaster.
Okay. Metroid Prime was this year?
Yeah.
Or 23?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Feels like forever ago.
Mario Wonder is also a great game that came out this year. It's not good
contender.
Enough to be like game of the year really or anything like that, but it is an extremely solid game that's really, really fun. And if you like, you know, if you like 2D Marios, it is an extremely polished, fun 2D Mario. So,
and shout out to Mario RPG. I feel the same way about that.
Oh, that's true. Man, that's a game that's on my I want to play list.
Well, I got it physical, so you can borrow it if you want.
Let's play some games.
Let's play some games this year.
Let's play some games this year, guys.
We're doing games on three. Everyone in.
All right, everyone in. Connor.
Can you drive here real quick?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is.
One, two, three. Games.
Yay!
We're playing them.
We'll see you.
That's the Game of the Year podcast. Bye. Thanks for listening.
I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime. These visions, I can change them, sort and rearrange them. A world of understanding, which you have never seen before. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime. How could I make you understand? We are radiant beams of light, shining bright even when we are small. In the fall. This is where it picks up. The snare coming in. It's good. Gets you hyped. People know the chorus by this point, so they can sing with you when you go. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. Huh. Huh. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall.
When was it? Tell me.
In the summertime. These visions, I can change them, sort and rearrange them. A world of understanding, which you have never seen before. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime.